right, welcome back in. Hour number three of Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, and Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. We are scheduled to be joined here in just a few minutes by former Titans running back Chris Johnson. CJ2K will be joining the show, so looking forward to that conversation. Obviously, he's got some experience hitting the 2,000-yard mark Derrick Henry just hit, so looking forward to talking to him about that and looking ahead to the game for the Titans against the Ravens coming up on Sunday. Joe, let's revisit our poll question of the day at 102.5 The Game on Twitter. Today's question, which athlete in Nashville pro sports history was the most popular at the peak of their stardom? Chris Johnson is a part of this poll in 2008 and 2009. Pekka Rinne in 2017, the Stanley Cup run that the Predators went on. Steve McNair and Eddie George in the early 2000s, or Derrick Henry in the present day and the run that he's been on. 324 votes are in so far. 62% of the vote going with Steve McNair and Eddie George. 19% going with Pekka Rinne in the 2017 Cup run. 15% going with Derrick Henry in the present day. And 4% with Chris Johnson in 2008 and 2009. So Steve McNair and Eddie George still a pretty hefty lead in this poll question, Joe Rex wrote.
Yeah, and I'm not surprised that combining them that they would win. I am surprised that Derrick Henry would be third.
Yeah, me too.
Because you just assume right now we're in this time of, I mean, he just got 2,000 yards. They're in the playoffs. It's Derrick Henry time right now. So it's a little bit surprising.
Let's go to our text line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Ron texts in and says, I believe Derrick Henry will make the Madden cover, which I would love to see, but I don't want the Madden curse on him either. I want to say if Henry does make the Madden cover, the Titans would have had more players on the cover than any team in Madden game history. That is true. I mean, they've had Vince Young on the cover, Eddie George on the cover back in the day. I think the Madden curse is dead, though. Mahomes was on it a couple years ago. They won the Super Bowl that year. Lamar Jackson on it this year. And while he didn't have the same year, still pretty good player, Lamar Jackson.
Yeah, I think the Madden curse thing is sort of like the Sports Illustrated curse. You know, you can find plenty of exceptions to debunk it.
Absolutely. So let's go to our 102.5 The Game phone line driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com and bring in former Titans running back Chris Johnson, one of the best players in franchise history. Chris, what's going on, man? We appreciate you taking time to join us.
Oh, thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So, Chris, obviously Derrick Henry, he's been so dominant for the past two seasons. He gets past the 2,000-yard mark on Sunday, which is something obviously you're very familiar with. What was your reaction when he reached that number and became the eighth running back in league history to get past 2,000 yards?
Well, you know, that was kind of special to me for him to get that. You know, we talk all the time and those type of things, and for him to be another Titan, for him to be another Tennessee Titan, and for it to be two of us in the same organization to both over 2,000 yards, it was just beautiful to see.
So, Chris, when you watch Derrick Henry run, what comes to mind?
A bulldozer with speed. Like 18-wheeler coming down the street just with speed, man. Like, those guys don't want to hit that guy.
So, Chris, let's go back to 2009 real quick. When you finished the season with obviously more than 2,000 yards on the ground, 2,006 yards, you set the single-season yards record from scrimmage with 2,509 total. What do you remember most about the journey that season to get to that point and the challenge that came with it?
Basically just, you know, in that groove, man, having that mindset every game that you can't be stopped, you can't be touched, and just, you know, making plays, trying to do everything you could to get your team that victory. And just the challenge is just, you know, being able to be available every week. Like, you getting so many touches and making so many plays, like, for you to be available every week, for you to stay healthy, got to eat right, got to stay in the training room, take care of your body, just for you to be available for your team every Sunday. That's one of the biggest accomplishments with within having that whole season.
Yeah, and Chris, you know, that brings to mind even the way the game has changed since then. I feel like, you know, there was emphasis on safety in your era, but more so now. How do you think the game has changed from your time to now?
Well, I think it has only really changed with quarterbacks and receivers and safeties, how they hit them and stuff. With the running backs, is pretty much the same. Like, running backs still get hit the same. You know, they have a rule in where the running backs can't drop their head on guys, or they got to watch how they hit the running back. But we're going through the trenches and that with the D-linemen and linebackers and all that, like, really can't really tell how you've been hit, like how it is when you're a receiver. So I don't really feel like it has changed when it comes to the running back position.
Former Titans running back Chris Johnson on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Chris, let's go back to your rookie season in 2008. Everything's going well. You guys finished the season 13-3, and you feel like there's a real opportunity to win the Super Bowl. And then the Ravens come to town, and obviously that's the matchup for the Titans again this weekend. You've got 79 total yards and a touchdown already in that game, and you collide with Suggs, Ray Lewis, and Ed Reed, and your body twists and turns. You come down, you've got an ankle injury after that play, and we all know what happened. How much do you think that play changed that game? And at the time, did you think that play was dirty by the Ravens? Did you think they were targeting you in that game?
I think that play right there, it was a little dirty because of how they pushed, bent me back. But I actually didn't get hurt on that play. I got hurt just on a normal tackle play, fell on my ankle the wrong way. But definitely, I think me being hurt changed that whole game around, because just got to think, had to do a whole different game plan. Once I went out of the game, we had to switch to a whole different game plan. Anytime you got to do that, especially in that type of atmosphere, that type of game, that type of playoff game, it's going to be tough. And then for us to lose 13-10, like, it was definitely tough.
So, what is it about these two franchises, Chris, before you, during your time, and of course now last year the Titans go in and pull off the shocker, kind of flip it around, get a little bit of revenge. What is it about these two franchises in the postseason? Do you think there's just some kind of rivalry, or maybe, you know, the shared kind of physicality that they've had a lot of teams like that kind of lends itself to games like that?
Well, it's always been – We always had a real good running game, and they always had a good defense. And that anytime you play a game like that with teams like that, I know we're going to run the ball, I know they're going to bring their defense, I know it's going to be a real good hard-hitting game, and, you know, the playoffs. So it's definitely going to be, you know, a lot of, you know, there might be some fights, a lot of energy, stuff like that, but that just comes with football and comes with the playoffs.
Former Titans running back Chris Johnson on the line with us, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. So, Chris, you've been pretty outspoken on Twitter about the MVP race this year with Derrick Henry. Obviously, a lot of people talking about Josh Allen and Patrick Mahomes and Aaron Rodgers. But Henry did finish with more than 2,000 yards. You finished with more than 2,000 yards in 2009. Where do you think Derrick Henry belongs in the MVP conversation this year, and why do you think that running backs a lot of times probably don't get the credit that they deserve?
I think he should win. There's no reason why he shouldn't. But the reason why I think we don't get what we deserve, I'm not sure. I'm not sure about it. You know, we get the low end of the stick all the way around MVP voting. I think it's a quarterback award. Even when it comes to contract and money, running back is like, even though it's starting to get better, running back start getting paid a little bit more, we still one of the lowest positions on the team. We get paid less than the quarterback, get paid less than the receivers, some tight ends, DNs, all that. Like, I don't feel like the running back position is paid to where it should be. And I understand, you know, they say, running back career is short-lived, and you don't know how many seasons they're going to be able to play, but they should be able to get paid. While they're playing, they should be able to get paid top dollar like we deserve.
Chris, do you enjoy seeing a team that, you know, is a little, and I know it's the team you played for, but kind of plays a different style, plays this style, features the running back when so few teams do, or if teams do, it's more running backs catching the ball in the backfield. Do you enjoy, I guess, this throwback style of this team?
Yeah, I love it, because that's the era I came up in. These days, you know, I feel like once I was able to come in at my weight and my size, then they start being able to make those type of guys every down backs in the league. But, you know, I still like the style that the Tennessee got, instead of, you know, turning to a straight passing the ball every play, still coming in showing that the running back can still get it done and being a running back based first team.
Former Titans running back Chris Johnson has been our guest here on Robbie and Rexo. Chris, really appreciate you taking time to join us, man. Great stuff.
Thank you.
Absolutely. It's really amazing to think about, like, the year he had in 2009, you know, 2509, still the yards from scrimmage record in the NFL. And you just talk about the MVP race. I get it. It's probably going to be Aaron Rodgers this year. We talked about it on Monday, though, Joe. You know, getting 2,000 yards, we said all season long, it's probably what it's going to take for Derrick Henry to get in that conversation. I think he'll be in the conversation. I just don't know how much of a chance he's going to actually have. And that's a shame just based on his position and running backs. And I think how undervalued they've become from a national perspective in the league today.
Yeah. And look, I do think that in some years, Derrick Henry did enough, even in this era, to win it. But, like, I mean, you've talked about it. Aaron Rodgers, what, 48-5, you know, on the – I mean, you just happen to be also in a year with – I mean, like, if you took Aaron Rodgers out of the equation, I think it'd be kind of interesting.
Yeah.
Mahomes and Derrick Henry. I still think Mahomes would probably win, but it'd be interesting. But I think Aaron Rodgers just kind of distanced himself. So some of it's timing too. But I'm with Chris. You know, the running back – is devalued, and listen, they may not have a long shelf life in a lot of cases, but when you have a great one, whatever that window is, it obviously makes a big difference for your team. This one is built around one of them.
When we come back, we'll get back into our poll question of the day at 1025 The Game on Twitter. What's it going to take for Derrick Henry to get into the same stratosphere as Steve McNair and Eddie George in terms of Titans all-time legends? We'll discuss that on the other side. Get your reaction as well on our phone and text lines, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025, 615-737-1025. That's coming up next. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 1025 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. Make sure you're tuning in later this hour, right around 8:45, we're going to have a chance for you to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game. We'll have the keyword of the day for you at that time that you can text in to the game line at 615-737-1025, and you'll be entered for a chance to win. So make sure you're tuning in at around 8:45 for that. Joe, we've been talking all show long about Derrick Henry and just where he fits in right now in terms of all times Titans legend. I mean, the conversation always starts with Steve McNair and Eddie George, but you look at what Derrick Henry's doing right now and getting past the 2,000-yard mark, how dominant he's been the last couple of years, what sort of an impact he's had in the playoffs already in his short career. How close do you think Derrick Henry is to entering into that conversation, and what do you think he ultimately has to do to surpass Steve McNair and Eddie George on the list of all-time Tennessee Titans?
I mean, I think some of it is just, it's a little bit of, you know, more time. You know, I think he's on course right now. I mean, he's on course Brian Porth said it earlier, like if you were buying Hall of Fame stock right now, would you buy it with Derrick Henry? He said he would. I would too. So some of it is time, but some of it is also postseason. I mean, look, Derrick Henry last year, 446 in those three postseason games, dominates two wins, really was dominant in another win in his second year in the league. He's had three monster playoff games. He needs 147 yards Sunday, and he will pass Eddie George, who has a record, franchise record, 630 rushing yards in the playoffs. So some of it is things like that and just being huge in big moments. I mean, again, go back to Sunday. So I'll go back to Jeff Zrebeck and I did a beat writer Q&A on this game, and someone in the comments said, Derrick Henry, they gave him all these extra carries to get 2,000 yards. And I responded, I'm like if he got 249, they might lose the game. I mean, his last 4 yards got them just close enough for Sam Sloman to be an all-time legend. Like, so, you know, when you talk about, we think of clutch, I think, more with quarterbacks, just like we think of wins and losses more as a quarterback stat. But talk about clutch. The guy rushes 34 times for 250 yards, and the last yard gives you that last inch to win the game and avoid overtime. So it's things like that, performances like that. I mean, he's already the only back in NFL history with three 200-yard plus two touchdown games. You know, I mean, on and on. He's the only back to ever rush for 200 plus three times against the same opponent. I mean, so some of that stuff is just stats and everything. But, I mean, if he just keeps performing like this and the way he is, I mean, look, you know Derrick Henry, what he's going to be off the field and everything, right? I mean, he's very likable guy. He's good off the field. He's liked very genuinely by his teammates. It's time to me. You do this for 2-3 more years, and I think you're the guy.
How much is longevity a part of this? Because, look, I think you can make, obviously, a pretty good argument right now. Derrick Henry, in terms of just this run that we've seen on the field, I think this is far and away the best 2-year run we have ever seen from a production standpoint, maybe of any Titans player ever. Like, just the pure dominance that we've seen from him, I'm not sure that anybody else, including Steve McNair, the year he won MVP, has ever accomplished at this level. So I get it. It's only a 2-year window where he's really been at the top of his game like this. How much longer does that have to be the case where it's like this before he enters into that conversation? Or has he already done it long enough that no matter what happens from now on in the rest of Derrick Henry's career, that when you start talking about all-time Titans players, he's going to be in the top 3-4 of that discussion that you lead off with, along with, of course, McNair and Eddie George?
That's a good question. I mean, I think he's definitely in the very top of, like you said, like what single season performance. And again, those playoff games, I mean, those are, you don't have a lot in most franchises don't have a ton in their history. The Titans don't have a ton in their history. So you think about two playoff games in which he just completely trampled the Patriots and Ravens and dominated those games. So those things are always going to be among, you know, like franchise lore. I mean, like he can retire today and he'll have that. But yeah, I think longevity is also, can you now do that again and again? Can you, of course, there's also the fact that Eddie and Steve made a Super Bowl. Can you get there? Can you make a deeper run? Can you get to 10,000 yards career? I mean, all these things matter as well. I mean, he's already got a place, you know, in the franchise history. But I think there's still another place where, because again, like, I mean, we had Chris Johnson on, incredible. Like you said, he still has the yards from scrimmage record, incredible season, 2000 yard season had, I mean, he was as fun to watch, I think, as any player in the league there for a couple of years, but it was a brief stay,
right?
You know? So I think he's the example of, like, no one's ever going to forget that season or his stretch where he was so great, but it was shorter and it puts him, I think, behind in the pecking order of some of these guys who did it over years and years.
So Ryan Porth, you've watched a lot of Titans football. We've seen Steve McNair and Eddie George, obviously their impact, not only on the team on the field, but just how beloved they were in the community. How close do you think Derrick Henry is to that level, and if he's not close, what does he have to do to get to that level and be on par with McNair and George?
I think a trip to the Super Bowl with him being a big part of it would put him on the same playing field as those two. While Steve McNair and Eddie George, first year as a Titans, as the Titans franchise, or the this portion of the franchise being known as the Titans going to the Super Bowl, they were, are obvious leaders in the clubhouse when it comes to this conversation. But you cannot deny what Derrick Henry has done in the last couple of years. The fact that he's now hit the 2,000 mark, he put the team on his back in the playoffs last year and carried them to an AFC title game for the first time in 17 years. I do think Derrick Henry is knocking on the door of that conversation. If he were to fall off a cliff after this season and not have the same production, then I don't think he does get to that point. But if they go on a run this month, if Derrick Henry follows it up with another big year next year, the Titans continue to have success within his window of being an elite running back in the NFL, then I definitely think there's going to be a conversation to be had here of Derrick Henry versus Steve McNair versus Eddie George in terms of all-time popular Titans.
Let's go to our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Rob texts in and says, it's going to take a Super Bowl and better than a yard and a half short for Derrick Henry to pass McNair and Eddie George. So, Rob going with, you got to get to the Super Bowl and you got to win it if you're the Titans and Derrick Henry, if you want to pass Steve McNair and Eddie George and their legacy here with Tennessee.
Yeah, and I understand that, but I would counter with, okay, let's say Derrick Henry is great the rest of his contract, which means 21, 22, and 23, and let's say he gets, you know, another 4,500 yards to put him over 10,000, and you know, they get another two-year deal done or something after that. And, you know, he has more great seasons and certainly some team success. I mean, if that happens and they go all of a sudden they're going 6-10 every year, I think it's also different. But I feel like if he stacks great years up and the team is not as good as you hope, I still think he could be. I mean, there are examples, a lot of examples of this kind of thing, with just an individual who stands out. Again, I'll go back to Earl Campbell with the Oilers, never made a Super Bowl, but some good teams, but he was just incredible. He was great. Barry Sanders played with a team that, you know, won one freaking playoff game in his entire time and you know, bad franchise, but he was great. He was must-see for everyone in the NFL every year, and I think that's where Derrick Henry has gotten himself to.
And it's interesting because, like, we talked about this earlier in the show. We had a texter point out that, you know, Ryan Tannehill may be closing in on Steve McNair in terms of all-time Titans quarterbacks and the way the popularity there. And I think McNair is different because it was on the field. Yes, he was great there, and obviously that's the main reason why he was as popular as he was. But I think it was also the toughness. It was also, you know, what he was willing to play through, what he was willing to battle through to get on the field. I think that endeared him to the fans. I'm curious, like, from Derrick Henry's point of view, you know, let's say maybe even the longevity of Eddie George doesn't end up being there. The highlight reels, I think, maybe are already better than maybe both Steve McNair and Eddie George. Like, you mentioned it earlier in the show, Joe, like, in terms of one day when your career is over and you look back on the replays, the highlights of your career. I mean, just how many come to mind? The stiff arms on Josh Norman and the stiff arms on Alex Myers and the 99-yard run, the 94-yard run against Houston. I mean, you could go on and on and on with these plays that Derrick Henry has made already. And it's interesting. Like, I remember growing up and how popular McNair and Eddie George were here locally. And I realize it's a different time. You've got social media, so I think it's really difficult to compare these two things. But nationally, I think from your average NFL fan, Derrick Henry is probably already at a place where he is held in higher regard than those other two, just based simply on the highlights and what he's been able to achieve on that front. Again, I realize two very different eras, two very different points of comparison with social media being a part of it now, but I think he's already there nationally.
Yeah, I mean, how many times have you seen the Earl Campbell highlight against the Rams where the guy rips his jersey off and he just destroys the linebacker? You know, there's a couple other runs by him. How many times have we seen the Barry Sanders run against the Cowboys where, you know, the defensive lineman standing around has no idea he's running behind him? Or, you know, there's a bunch with him, obviously. But Derrick Henry's that kind of guy. He does things on the field that are so ridiculous that people want to watch him over and over again. And not just the length of the runs, but those stiff arms, you know, are just – it's just a different kind of thing. So that's where – it enters into the discussion, but I think it is, that is also, it's a little bit different because it's, we're talking league wide. And I agree. I think league wide, he has a higher profile, arguably, than those other guys, but we're still talking about Nashville. And I think that's where it's a little bit more substance and longevity.
I do want to pass something along here. We were talking a few minutes ago about the Predators and training camp and how worried are you about Luke Kunin maybe not being under contract right now. Well, it seems like that could be coming to an end very quickly. Adam Vingan of The Athletic reporting that it is his understanding that the Predators and restricted free agent Luke Kunin are closing in on a new contract. So that would be very good news if they're able to get that done and wrapped up. So looking like signs are pointing to Kunin maybe being a part of the fold here in Nashville, back on the ice very quickly. So wanted to pass that along to everyone out there. When we come back, what Titans player has the most to prove heading into this playoff run that starts on Sunday against Baltimore? We'll debate that on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Welcome back in. Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley, Joe Rex Road, Ryan Porth here with you on this Wednesday morning in Nashville, Tennessee. So, Joe, we talked about it to begin the show, the pressure on the Ravens and on Lamar Jackson specifically heading into this game. There's been the narrative out there that this Ravens offense, Lamar Jackson, the way they do things, doesn't translate to the playoffs. It's not going to be able to get it done to make a long run to the Super Bowl. I don't know if I buy that. We've talked about it. It's only been a 2-game sample size in the playoffs with Lamar Jackson, but that's today's NFL. That's the world we live in. Until he's actually able to go out there and get it done, there are going to be questions surrounding him. So let's flip that around. As you evaluate this Titans roster, as you look ahead to what could be another potential playoff run here starting on Sunday against Baltimore, what Titans player do you think has the most to prove, the most pressure, the most to gain from having a successful postseason this year? If you had to identify a couple of guys on the team with the most to prove, how would you answer that question?
Yeah, two really come to mind. One, proving that he is what we all see, but a lot of people around the league don't see, and that's Ryan Tannehill. I mean, I do think that part of the dismissal of Tannehill, the underrating of Tannehill, goes back to those meager numbers in the postseason last year, which even that, if you watch the games, Tannehill delivered with big passes for that 14-0 lead in Baltimore, and he delivered with several big passes in New England, but didn't have big numbers, so that feeds the guy hands off to Derrick Henry every once in a while, completes a play action pass. I mean, I think he's got a lot to prove. And look, I don't think they win Sunday if he doesn't have a huge game. The way that this defense is now, and the way that I think the Ravens are more equipped to deal with Derrick Henry, with Calais Campbell and Brandon Williams, and then the other guy is Kevin Byard, kind of, you know, bouncing back from this regular season. First bad defense he's ever been on his career, and it was historically bad, and it was his worst season, and he's a difference maker. You know, this is a Pro Bowl player, a leader of this team in defense. He's the voice of this team is Kevin Byard, and I think it's a big moment for him to make difference-making plays in this game.
I agree with both of those. I had three that came to mind immediately when we kind of tossed this question out there. Obviously, Tannehill being number one. I don't think he has anything to prove here locally. I think we know what he is. He's a very good quarterback. He's been good all season long for this Titans team. But I do think nationally, like you look at the narrative last year in the playoffs, his stats didn't look great. If you actually watch the game, you know it didn't have to look great in those games. He made some key throws at key times. And Derrick Henry was just dominant in the playoffs, and you have to stick with what's working at that point. But I do think with the defense being what it is, Ryan Tannehill is going to be required to do more in this playoff run if the Titans are going to get back to the AFC title game like they did a year ago. Like, I don't think the Titans defense is good enough to be in a situation where it's just purely on Derrick Henry running for 250 yards in a game to get him there. You're going to have some big numbers, some big moments from Ryan Tannehill as well. And all season long, he's been able to prove that and to do that. Another guy offensively that came to mind was A.J. Brown from this standpoint. Number one, I get it. He's kind of banged up right now and hobbled. That did not stop him on Sunday from having a monster game against Houston, 10 catches for 151 yards. But you think back to the playoffs last year, and I get it, there wasn't a ton of opportunities. He had 10 targets in the three games, 5 catches for 64 yards in the postseason last year. But there was talk about A.J. Brown going up against some elite cornerbacks. Can he create separation? Can he get open? Can he make big plays in big moments when it matters the most in the playoffs? I fully believe he's capable of it. I fully believe that he's taken a pretty big jump from year one to year two in terms of his route running, his ability to go down the field and catch the ball. But I do think until you see him actually do it in the playoffs, there's something there for him to prove. And hopefully for his sake, he's healthy enough to be able to do that and that ankle can hold up.
Yeah, that's a good one. That's a good one for sure. And of course, with AJ, it's with each guy, there's always whatever the argument is. I mean, we're talking about Derrick Henry and most popular athlete, Tannehill, just having respect. And of course, AJ Brown, we've talked all year. Is he whatever you want to define number one receiver as? Is he elite? Is he tier one? Is he tier two? He got Kyle Tucker actually sent me the screenshot. So I wasn't in the Zoom with AJ. But I guess Kyle asked him about like bouncing back from drops this year. And the expression on his face after that game was like, are you freaking kidding me? And, he hasn't had a lot at all. He had that little stretch. And he had, of course, that is a big one against Indy. That's just a big play. You think about how that game might have gone if you accept that touchdown and make it 14-0. But that's the thing. If you're going to be that kind of guy, if you're going to be talked about in the absolute upper crust of a position like receiver in the NFL, then you are under scrutiny and every little mistake gets magnified.
Yeah, and I think another guy that came to mind, look, we've got some people on Twitter saying the entire defense has something to prove. I get it. That's just not going to happen. Like, to me, that just is what it is at this point. I think you have to accept that if you're a Titans fan moving into the playoffs. But I do think a guy on defense who I need to see take it to another level would be Jeffrey Simmons. I think in the playoffs, he's got to be a guy that's a difference maker out there. And I think the last few weeks, whether it's been due to injury, whether it's just been due to being double teamed a lot, I don't know what the case has been, but I don't think he's been anywhere near as impactful as he was at times earlier in the season. And I mean, just think about it. You're the Titans. You make a decision to move on from Jarrell Casey, maybe a year earlier than most people anticipated, and Jeffrey Simmons was going to be a huge part of why that's the case. I think Jeffrey Simmons is really good. I still think there's another level that he can take from a pass rushing standpoint. I think he's been good at getting his paw on the ball, forcing some key fumbles at key times, creating turnovers. You need to see more of that out of Jeffrey Simmons. I don't think we've seen that in a few weeks. And if this Titans defense as a whole is going to have any prayer, I think he's going to have to be a big part of it because he's at times, I think, been their best playmaker and kind of game-changing player on defense this year, and we haven't seen a ton of that lately.
I'd agree with you on Simmons, but I do think there's a lot of pressure on that entire defense. And I say that because this Ravens defense is good enough to hold the Titans below 25 to 30 points. I mean, especially with Campbell and Williams back on that defensive line, I don't think the Titans are going to be lighting up the scoreboard on Sunday. I mean, they're probably going to be held below that 25 to 30 point barrier, which means there's going to be a lot of pressure on the defense to keep the Ravens in the same stratosphere in terms of the points on the scoreboard. And it's going to have to be done collectively. They'll probably have to force a turnover or two. It's going to have to be one of those bend but don't break defenses, one of those performances on Sunday. But I do think, as scary as it is, there's a lot of pressure on that defense to step up and play well against this Ravens offense like they have the last two times out.
I agree. Although, I also feel like it's been so bad And it's been a deep – I mean, we've talked about all year, and then, of course, they know this. They've been asked questions all year. Why – you know, basically, like, why are you so bad? You know, you can just boil it down to that question over and over and over again. So it is one of those things where sometimes when something is struggling so much, if you just have a little bit of positivity, then, you know, there's momentum. Like, yes, I agree, Porth. Like, the Ravens' defense is set up, is constructed to make this tougher on the Titans' offense than a lot of defenses could. But I don't know if I look at it like pressure on the Titans' defense as much as, you know, like there's so little expectations for them. I think it's opportunity. Like, get a few stops. Yeah, get that turnover. Get a couple sacks, and that should be enough. I think if you can keep the Ravens under 30, I mean, I think basically that's what you've got to do. The Titans' offense has to be thinking, we got to hit 30, and the Titans' defense has to be thinking, look, keep them under 30, and we have a good chance to win.
The Titans' defense, to me, has almost reached, like, Blaine Gabbert territory. Like, you think back to that last game against Indy a few years ago to get into the playoffs, and there's, when you think about it, there's an enormous amount of pressure on Blaine Gabbert in that game because of the situation, and, you know, you win, you get in the playoffs. But there's also really not, because you know it's Blaine Gabbert, and you know that doesn't give you much of a chance to begin with. That's kind of how I feel about this Titans defense. Like, I get it. There's pressure there. They're going to have to play well, and I agree, Porth, like, force some turnovers at times. But I also, like, it's gotten to me to the point where they're so bad where there's almost not pressure there because you just expect them to be bad heading into the game.
Well, if we just expect it, and if we're just going to accept the fact that they're going to be that bad in this game, then the season's going to be over Sunday.
Well, there's a good chance it might be. Point you need blank. Your offense to be – your offense is going to have to be exceptional.
So there's a pressure on both sides for the offense to be as good as they have been all season long, which has been great. But there is absolutely pressure on the defense to not be as bad as they've been all season, in my mind.
Yeah, it's just like the bar's low. It's just like basically like chip in a little. Can you force a punt? Can you tackle somebody? Can you cover somebody? I mean, it's like, yeah, it's just the difference in expectation is so different, you know, but also the difference in confidence is so different. That offense knows it has to do great things, but also probably feels like it can. And then the defense, I mean, I do think that there's a collective lack of confidence there, like a sense of doom. Again, we've talked about it before, like that Preds power play of a couple years ago, where it's like 3rd and 12, you should get off the field here, but you don't think you are getting off the field here, do you? Oh, you didn't get off the field here.
We'll have Adam Kaplan, SiriusXM NFL Insider, join us to begin the 9 o'clock hour, get into some Arthur Smith discussion with him. So looking forward to that conversation. But when we come back, it's time for The Choice Is Yours. Ryan Porth is in the chair this week. We've got some great questions on the way for you that we'll debate. I'll also have the keyword of the day to enter the competition to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game for you coming back on the other side. This is Robbie and Rex Road here on ESPN 102.5 The Game. And it's that time of the week here on Robbie and Rex Road. Time for The Choice Is Yours. We throw out different scenarios, both sports and non-sports, and then debate on how we would respond to said scenarios. This week in the question chair is Ryan Porth. He's done a wonderful job so far. Ryan Porth, we turn it over to you.
Hello. Would you like to start with sports or non-sports this morning?
Let's start with sports this morning.
Okay. So last night I went into a rabbit hole known as YouTube and watch the extended highlights of all four Titans Ravens playoff games. Kind of wanted to get myself into the mode of it's Titans Ravens playoff week.
I like it.
And I think a lot of Titans fans would agree that the losses in 2001 and 2009 are two of the most depressing losses in Titans history. But I want to know from you two, what is the most depressing sports loss that you have experienced as a fan, maybe in your younger years as a kid?
Oh, man. This is a good one. Joe, would you like to start?
Yeah, I mean, you know, there's a few that come to mind, but I think I'm going to go with – I've told you guys the story. I'll condense it. You know, the my birthday, Detroit Lions at 49ers, Eddie Murray misses a 43-yarder that would have sent them to the NFC Championship game over Joe Montana and the Niners. And then a young 12-year-old threw himself onto the floor while taking all these folding chairs at my grandparents' house and smashing them all over the floor. Just a total ridiculous tantrum that, like, it would have been okay for a 3-year-old to have, but a 12-year-old had this tantrum. So, I mean, I got to go with that. There's some heartbreaking Detroit Tigers losing to the Minnesota Twins in the 87 playoffs when they were clearly the best team. But, yeah, that's got to be it.
I got to say, this is a tough question from the standpoint of I'm a Tennessee football fan, so there's a lot to choose from here. So, I mean, I could kind of roll through a few here. I mean, the Hail Mary by Felipe Franks for Florida to beat Tennessee on the last play. The 4th and 20 or whatever it was, like 2 years before that against Florida, where they just destroyed, ripped my heart out there in Gainesville. That's on the list too. But I think if I had to nail it down to one, it would be back in 2009, Lane Kiffin's first year here. I say first year as if there was a second at Tennessee. They're in Alabama. They're playing really well all game. It was an ugly game. They've got a chance to win the game on a field goal. And I think it was Daniel Lincoln, may have been the kicker. And he kicks it directly into Terrence Cody, Mount Cody, the game. The field goal gets blocked. Alabama runs on the field. Terrence Cody rips his helmet off. And Alabama wins the game. They go on to win their first national title that year. That one was awful. Probably just because my parents are both Alabama fans. And the amount of crap I got from that on that day was borderline insufferable. So I'd go with that one.
All right.
Well, what about you?
Well, as someone who likes teams from either Cincinnati or Nashville, like you, Robbie, with the Tennessee Volunteers, I have plenty to choose from. The one that will haunt me forever until the Reds win the World Series is the damn Buster Posey Grand Slam in Game 5 in 2012 in the NLDS.
Oh, boy.
As the Reds blew a 2-0 series lead 3 straight days at home. That was pretty depressing. Also, sitting inside Bridgestone Arena 2 years ago for Cincinnati blowing a 22-point lead to Nevada when Cincinnati was the 2 seed and had hopes of getting to the Final Four, I was numb for about, I don't know, hour and a half after that game. So plenty to choose from. All right, so non-sports. Amanda and I, we drove to Illinois for Christmas with her parents, and we always have this debate in the car. When needing to go to the bathroom, do you stop at a gas station or a rest area?
Oh, mine's always a gas station because it's got quick access to everything I need. Like, I realize rest areas, they've got vending machines and all this different stuff. But I'm kind of a fatty at heart. I love, you know, searching for cinnamon rolls and things of that nature. So I can accomplish two things at once. You go to the bathroom at the gas station, you're able to get up, stretch around, walk around a little bit, but you also, at this point, I mean, you've got all sorts of options in gas stations. So gas station, to me, is the preferred choice. Now, I have stopped at rest areas and, like, gotten out on a bench and just napped for, like, an hour on a trip before. So that's, I'm not doing that at a gas station because you never know what might happen to you at that point. But in terms of going to the restroom, the gas station is good enough for me.
Yeah, rest area is pure desperation for me. It's like, okay, we got to do this. But I try to, you know, you try to sync it up. And with 5 people, 3 kids, that can be difficult. But I try to call it out. Listen, we're getting gas, food, and you're going to the bathroom in 2 hours. So get ready, everybody. And you try to knock it all out just to speed up the trip. But so the rest area stops are only like, okay, we have to do this. Also, I will say that one thing that I will retain from the pandemic year is I'm going to take a mask with me at some of these gas stations. I'm like, you know, why haven't I been doing this all along?
Probably a very good point. I will say this. The worst is when you've stopped, whether it's at a rest area or a gas station, you've stopped, you've done your thing. Somebody in your traveling party says, nah, I'm good. Don't have anything to do here. And then 20 minutes later down the road, like, hey, I got to go to the bathroom. It makes me want to physically hurt people.
Oh, absolutely. No, you are going to the bathroom. No, you are going to the bathroom. Absolutely.
If it's number one, gas station. If it's number two, rest area.
Nice.
Let's go back to sports. Would you, in the spirit of some of the conversation this morning of Chris Johnson, Derrick Henry, would you rather, as a running back, if you were a running back in the NFL, have the speed of Chris Johnson or the strength of Derrick Henry?
Ooh, that's a good one. I think in today's NFL, I would probably go with the speed of Chris Johnson. Now, somebody's going to send this on the text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, and they're going to say, well, with Derrick Henry, you can have both. But that's not the question at hand here. You've got to pick the speed of Chris Johnson or the strength of Derrick Henry. So this one's close. Like, I would love to be able to just toss people aside like Derrick Henry does, and just for the pure highlight purposes of that, I am considering it. But I think I would go at the end of the day with the speed of Chris Johnson and the versatility that that would give me.
So I do want to clarify then. So I can have the strength of Derrick Henry, but then I'm running like myself. Is that what we're talking about here? Or can I have all of Derrick Henry's attributes and all of Chris Johnson's attributes?
No, you can have the strength.
It's the speed of CJ or the strength of Derrick Henry.
You can't have all of it.
Yeah, I mean, I would love to throw Josh Norman out of bounds and things like that, but just to feel speed at any point would be wonderful. So I'll go there.
Not a burner, Joe, in your playing days.
I would crafty moves, but not a burner.
I would go strength of Derrick Henry because I would get so much satisfaction with just bulldozing people.
Yeah.
Like, it's one thing to run by people, but it's another to embarrass them by either stiff-arming them or trucking them or what have you.
Yeah. Look, it's close. It's a good point.
All right. Final question of the choice is yours. Non-sports. When you get your hair cut, do you prefer a conversation with the person cutting your hair, or do you prefer to sit in awkward silence?
Oh, this one's easy for me. I don't need a whole lot of conversation going on. This goes not only for people cutting your hair, this goes for Uber drivers, this goes for, you know, waitresses, like managers at restaurants that come up and while you're in mid-bite they want to ask you how everything's going. I prefer complete silence. Just leave me alone. I don't mind your pleasantries. I like checking in on people and making sure that they're okay, but we don't need to have some life conversation while you're sitting there with scissors cutting my hair. Now, this is a bit different for me because I cut my own hair because I'm bald, so I don't have a ton of experience with this in recent memory. But whether it's at the barbershop, whether it's in the Uber driver, the Lyft, whatever service you want to use, or at the restaurant, leave me be. Let me do my things. If I want to initiate the conversation, I will. Otherwise, I'm cool sitting in silence. Silence does not terrify me.
Yeah, so I've had some good conversations in the barber chair, you know, and that's fine, and it makes it go faster, and I like that. But if I had to choose one or the other, like you're like going into it, you're either having a conversation or not, I'll take the silence. You know, I mean, I have no problem. I don't feel awkward about just sitting there and saying, okay, thank you. I mean, if it's a good conversation, great. But I agree. Sometimes the small talk and the forced conversation gets annoying.
When it's a total stranger, give me the silence.
Okay.
But when it's, so for instance, I go to the same place to get my hair cut, you know, once a month, I get the same guy to cut my hair. We've gotten to know each other a little bit. So I will talk with that individual when I go get my hair cut. But I will say the last time that I got my hair cut, I did almost fall asleep. I was so tired.
That's impressive. You have way more trust in people than I do. I would never fall asleep in that chair
while
with somebody else.
Cutting your hair.
No way. There's not a chance in the world I would fall asleep.
When's the last time you went to a barbershop to get your hair cut, Rob?
Oh, it's been years. It's been probably at least 3-4 years. Then my now wife made me at some point bite the bullet and just shave it all off. And ever since then, been handling it myself. It's liberating. I've saved $12.
Or $20, depending on the day.
That adds up, man.
It does add up.
It does. It does.
That is the one part of losing your hair at, you know, 26 years old that you feel good about.
No, you were losing your hair at 16
years
old.
Well, losing it. Okay, I guess completely lost the hair at 26.
Your hair was in full retreat mode.
It was.
10 years ago.
I don't know how this became an Attack My Hairline segment, but it did, and that's fine with me. But yes, you're right. It was, and I've saved money because of it. I appreciate that.
Well, good for you.
Thank you. Very good job, Porth. Very good addition of The Choice Is Yours. Nicely done.
Thank you.
That's what I'm here for. Do you see how nice I was at the end? I'm the only one that hasn't attacked people today. Joe attacks your poll
that
question.
Stanley Dome, and he's still nice to you.
I know. It's just amazing.
Everybody's been attacking my poll question.
Trying to beat the Porth's upset. about the poll question. That just trying to be the bigger person here. We're going to have Adam Kaplan from SiriusXM joining us to begin the 9 o'clock hour. We're getting to all things Titans and NFL playoffs with him. That's coming up. But I've got the keyword of the day. Today's keyword of the day is Preds. Text it in now to the game line at 615-737-1025 to be entered to win a Nashville Predators reverse retro jersey and a copy of the EA Sports NHL 21 video game brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. Tune in tomorrow at 8:45 for the next keyword, and the winner will be announced on Thursday, January the 14th. Also, make sure you're tuning in every Preds game day morning at 8:45 this season for your chance to participate in Preds Pick the Click, also brought to you by New Amsterdam Vodka. We'll be right back with Adam Kaplan. This is Robbie and Rex Road live from the Wholesale Link Studio, powered by RumbleOn.com. You're on ESPN 102.5 The Game.